Hi, everybody. I'm Andrew Holacek, your main guide for this extended course. I really wanted to welcome you to this Preparing to Die program, a comprehensive training over 10 years in the making. Personally, I can't tell you how excited I am to finally launch this program. An extensive consultation with a team of advisors and contributors from the hospice community, the medical and legal fields, advanced directive specialists, colleagues in the world of death and dying, and leading spiritual teachers from a host of wisdom traditions, we have methodically and carefully crafted what could be the most complete preparation for the end of life currently available, at least from the Buddhist perspective. This course will show you what to do for yourself and for others before, during, and after death, from both a spiritual and practical perspective. In short, no stone is left unturned. So using a combination of pre-recorded studio talks and material from live teaching events, I'm going to share a tremendous amount of information culled from a vast array of sources. Much of the material comes from live teaching events, and there's a reason for that. Live events provide a level of energy and spontaneity that studio recordings can never match. In a live setting, you can feed off the energy of the participants, respond to questions that many people may be wanting to ask, nurture and elicit the collective wisdom of the group, and play with the humor and levity never found in a studio. The live questions are very helpful, as I hope you will see, because they provide opportunities for instant feedback and immediate clarification. They also stretched me while I was presenting to think of things I hadn't thought about in my prepared delivery. The participants frequently shared insights and wisdom beyond what I could have done alone. In all these live sessions, recorded in multiple locations, we had over 50 participants, many of them with 50 or plus years of study and practice. That amounts to hundreds of years of collective wisdom, which you will now be the beneficiary of. I've spent countless hours doing professional studio recordings, and as great as they are, it's like playing solo. In a live teaching situation, you're in a symphony. So much more alive, so much more participatory and engaged. In my experience, there's really no comparison. This is a big reason why we're going to be doing live discussion group sessions over the next 9 months together, at least 2 hours each and every week, so that you too can reap the fruits of interactive gatherings. Both live and pre-recorded sessions have strengths and weaknesses, which again is why we'll be engaging both approaches in this program. One strength of a studio recording, like this introductory talk, is total control. I can script what I want to say and readily edit things out. I can control the acoustics, the environment, everything. And conversely, recorded live teachings also have their limitations. Despite hundreds of hours working with sound editors, trying to weed out background noises, editing out spontaneous comments that are only appropriate in the context of the group, cleaning up dead airtime, etc., there are sure to be some moments that could be better. And as helpful as live questions are, not every question will resonate with everybody. Some people also want more presentation time and less discussion, while others want more discussion time and less presentation. As you well know, it's hard to please everybody all the time. So in this regard, I ask for your understanding and indulgence. I wanted to say a few words about why the emphasis on Buddhism in this program, and in particular Tibetan Buddhism. As you will see, I bring an integral approach to everything I present and firmly believe that no one has a patent on truth. Many wisdom traditions have a great deal to offer when it comes to death and dying. And I'll be interviewing authorities from Christianity, Islam, Hinduism, and Judaism to share wisdom from those traditions and their views about death. Many modern disciplines like science, psychology, and philosophy also have much to offer on this topic. But in my exhaustive research in the field of thanatology, that is, the study of death and dying, which I've pursued for well over 30 years, no one has more to say about this topic than Buddhism. The literature is unbelievably rich, dating back over 2,600 years. The contemplations, which I continue to work on a daily basis, are breathtaking in their scope and applicability. And the meditations are an absolute treasure trove. These teachings, contemplations, and meditations have become the cornerstone of my life. They are without a doubt the single greatest gift I have received. And I have taken it upon myself to understand and incorporate this tremendous wealth so that I can prepare for my own journey and now share my understanding with you. My friend Francesca Fremantle, a Sanskrit and Buddhist scholar and one of the earliest translators of the Tibetan Book of the Dead, when kindly endorsing my own book, Preparing to Die, said in her endorsement, quote, "There is much in this book that will appeal to anyone who has an open mind and is interested in a non-materialistic approach to death," end quote. And so similarly, there is much in this course that will appeal to anyone with an open mind and an interest in a non-materialistic approach to the end of life. But I'm not here to act as an apologist for Tibetan Buddhism. You have to be the final judge. As the Buddha said on his own deathbed, quote, "Do not take what I say for granted. Test my teachings against your own experience. Work out your own salvation with diligence." Or as the Dalai Lama often says, "If you find what I say of benefit, take it to heart. If you do not, throw it out the window." I now want to share some of the background story that led to this course, which will show you that I've been thinking about this for over 20 years and preparing for it for close to 40 years. Ever since I started meditating, goodness, some 46 years ago, I've been interested in the mind and consciousness and the big questions. Why are we here? Where did I come from? Where will I go when I die? What happens to the mind after death? When I discovered the Bardo teachings of Tibetan Buddhism, where the word Bardo means gap, transitional process, or in between, I knew I hit the jackpot. Here was the most elegant, sophisticated, and practical body of teachings that was able to answer all my questions. And most importantly, the contemplations and meditations to test it all, to bring it all to life, and then eventually into death. The impact for me has been absolutely monumental. Even though my last three books have been on lucid dreaming and dream yoga, I got into that topic through my study of the Bardos. The practice of dream yoga is a way to prepare for death. This kept coming up over and over in the literature I was reading, so I started looking deeper into it. All my latest writings and the launching of our online platform called Nightclub in 2019 have their origins in my study of death and dying. In two of my other books, The Power and the Pain and Meditation and the I Generation, on close reading, they're also about death. Because serious meditation and the spiritual path altogether is nothing less than death in slow motion, as we will see in this course. But one key event started the whole thing. Over 20 years ago, when I was first asked to teach at my local meditation center, the center director asked me to give a talk or two on death and dying. I did so, and somehow word got around that I was an expert on this topic. Well, hardly. But one day, out of the blue, this person, I'll call her Susan, called me from rural Colorado. Her husband of some 40 years was on his deathbed and she needed help. She was looking for spiritual guidance. My first inner response was, "You want me to help you?" I was really in no position to help her, but because of her situation and remote physical location, it became quickly obvious that there was nobody else. So for the next week or so, with daily phone calls, I did my best. This is no exaggeration. I would literally be holding a book in one hand, phone in the other, and scrambling to find answers to her painful questions. As I kept offering my advice, she would frequently utter something in the background, something that has stayed with me forever. "I wish I would have prepared. I wish I would have prepared." Those words were burned into me. I lost touch with Susan, but I never lost touch with her anguish and her remorse in not being ready. I made the resolve right then and there to do whatever I could to prevent others from going through that level of pain and regret. So I started reading absolutely everything in print, took every course I could find, talked to as many teachers as possible, and dove really deeply, seriously into the death meditations. I was then invited to do a 7-week course at the regional meditation center, which drew well over 100 people, the biggest course they told me that they had ever had. Several years later, with the help of friends and colleagues in the death and dying field, we offered a 20-week course that also had well over 100 participants. That grew into an entity we called the Death College, which in many ways was the precursor to what is now the Preparing to Die Institute. And so pardon the gallows humor, but no one graduated from that informal college. It was a dead-end sort of curriculum, but it planted a ton of seeds that have now come to fruition in this course. From all that, I gradually crafted my 400-page book, Preparing to Die. And finally, since that publication, I've been invited to teach on death and dying all around the world. I have since taught countless weekend programs on the Bardos, and as rich as they are, I realize there is only so much you can do in a weekend. To have an opportunity like this over 9 glorious months to go as deeply as possible into these majestic teachings and practices is something I've been looking forward to for many years. It really is, for me, a dream come true. The last thing I want to share, and I'll say much more about this in all the talks ahead, is a few words about the breathtaking benefits I've personally discovered in working with this material. I want to take a few moments to tell you what these teachings have done for me personally, and therefore what I hope they can do for you. First of all, they have removed all my fear of death, because as you will see, these teachings lead to the death of death. Death is only the end of form. In the realm of absolute truth, there is no such thing as death. Death is an illusion. I honestly can't think of a greater gift that can be given than to discover this form of immortality, the deathless nature within you. There is a part of you that does not grow old, never gets sick, and will never die. By the end of this program, you will be introduced to your deathless nature and approach the end of life with grace and confidence. Just imagine how you will feel on your deathbed, knowing that death is just like shedding worn out clothes. Secondly, these teachings have shown me how to look forward to death as a once in a lifetime opportunity. For me, this material has transformed the greatest obstacle in life, arguably the end of it, into the greatest opportunity. The Bardo teachings radically proclaim that there are more opportunities for rapid psychological and spiritual progress at the end of life and in the Bardos than there are during life, but only if you're prepared. Precisely what this course is designed to do. We'll see why this is so true later on in this program. Thirdly, and this was a big surprise, this material has dramatically brought me more fully into life. Like many who work in this field, I have discovered that if I hold everything in the embrace of impermanence and death, it ironically brings everything more fully into life. I no longer take anything for granted. I treasure every person, every day, every moment as if it was my last, because I know in my bones that it can be. Fourth, because of this, these teachings have radically focused and simplified my life. What really matters? When I die, what will really count? What can I truly take with me? My life is now so much simpler and therefore freer. It's also so much more focused. So many distractions have been removed, and I now spend my days doing meaningful things that will count in the end because they count now. Which, of course, it's not really the end, as we'll see. I feel like I'm no longer diluting my life, but living it fully. No longer at a pilot light level, but with the gas fully on. Fifth, not only have these teachings radically informed and transformed my life, they have also dramatically changed the way I relate to others who are aging, sick, and dying. Like many people, I used to shun these challenging experiences, avoiding them. But now I embrace them. I have been at the side of many who have died, and these teachings have been a silent companion, allowing me to be in these difficult situations with confidence and ease. And to greater or lesser degrees, I'm able to instill a sense of confidence and ease around those who are dying, their families and friends, and even the caretakers. This is not at all uncommon with someone who has done the inner work and understand what's going on. So these teachings are not merely for yourself, but for the benefit of others. Let me say that again. These teachings are not just for yourself, but for the benefit of all sentient beings. Finally, the genius of these teachings, really the utter majesty of what I've been given, has inspired me to share what I have learned with others, to help all the Susans in the world, to show to others that they're honestly, truly, 100% is nothing to be afraid of. As we'll see, fear is a product of ignorance. We're afraid of the unknown. By transforming the darkness of ignorance into the light of wisdom, we remove all fear. Right here is the vision of this Preparing to Die program.